Welcome to the Hope United Podcast, where we're creating a culture of worship, family, and discipleship. We hope this message challenges, inspires, and gives you hope today. If you like this podcast, remember to share and subscribe.
I just want to pray a prayer before we get started, and maybe you can stand with me and agree with me. I want to pray for two things. Number one, I want to pray for Haiti, and I want to pray for anybody that has an infirmity in your body. I believe that God is a healer. Does anybody believe that God is a healer? Does anybody believe that God is a deliverer? That He's still a Savior. He's in the saving business. God, we just come together right now. We lift up our brothers and sisters in Haiti. God, we thank you, Lord, that you are a mighty Savior. We pray that you would reach down there with your strong hand and protect, God, the innocent. God, and bring justice and bring order. God, whatever that may look like, we pray that you bring perfect justice and perfect order, God. And God, be a protection around those that are your believers. Be a protection around the innocent, God. Lord, I thank you, God, that all of this violence and confusion and chaos would stop and there would be order, godly order, that there would be a sense of justice and mercy. God, we thank you for that. We thank you, God. We speak, God, to the nation of Haiti, God, that there would be peace, God. There would be peace and there would be restoration. And for everything that's been taken, and everything that's been broken, everything that's been stolen, God would be given back. Everything that's been broken will be repaired. Everything that's been stripped away, God will be added back, Father. We thank you, Father, for the restoration of Haiti. God, and I thank you, Lord, I lift up each and every person that's among us today that may have a sickness and infirmity in their body right now. If that's you, just lift your hand. I just want the people around you to agree with you, and maybe they can put their hand on your shoulder if you're comfortable with that. If that's you, just lift up your hand, and we just want to agree with you. God, I speak to each and everybody that's struggling with something in their physical body, whether it's something small or something very, very big, whether they're overwhelmed by it or it's something that just continues to nag at them. God, I pray for the healing power of Jesus Christ to flow through this room, to touch them right now, to heal them where they are. Your healing power is just as powerful today as it was 2,000 years ago. Your blood will never lose its power. Your name still has the authority to break any infirmity, to break any sickness. And so we speak healing over your people today in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. 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 You may be seated. My name is Pastor Joshua. Me and my wife, Pastor Corinne, are the lead pastors of Hope United, and we welcome you here today. If it's your first time, we're delighted to have you here. If it's not your first time, we're also delighted to have you as well. If it's your first time, you can scan the QR code. Hopefully they have it. Yes, they have it. And we would love to connect with you. You can connect with us via that. And going on a journey of faith is so much better when you do it with those that also are on a journey of faith. Amen? Today, I want to talk to you about a dream and a prayer that Jesus had, a prayer that he prayed that we would know the type of unity that he and the Father enjoy. And Jesus' heart for us and desire is that we would know the unity that he and the Father do. And he in John 17, he prayed this prayer. He said, I pray that they will all be one, just as you and I are one, as you are in me, Father, and I am in you. So the prayer is this: God, make us one. Father, make us one. So I want to begin a new series today called Community. Or you could say, come, unity. Community. There's something powerful when we have unity. When we come together, when we share things in common, When we have a shared common purpose, great things can happen. So we start talking about community today. And let's go back to John 17 and take a little bit of a deeper look, because this was right before Jesus was crucified. During the Last Supper, many theologians believe, he lifted up this prayer. He's with his disciples and he says, "I am praying not only for these disciples," John 17, 20, "but also for all who will ever believe in me through their message." Lift your hand if that's you. "I am praying for all these disciples," everybody in the room, everybody at the Last Supper, "but also for all who will ever believe in me through their message. I pray that they will all be," what? "One. Just as you and I are one." That's a deep concept, right? That we would have the type of unity and synergy that the Godhead has. He says, "As you are in me, Father, and I am in you." So 2,000 years ago, and still today, this is Jesus' prayer, that we would know that type of unity. And we would know that type of community. You see, true unity and community in this prayer. God, let them have unity. Let them have community as we have. And Father, make us one. Father, as we are one. Unity and community is a divine concept. It's not something that the world made up. It's not something that's a fad. But God has it. He wants to give it to us. He wants to share it with us. And it's not enough. And this may be something that shifts your thinking. It's not enough just to believe in Jesus. We must be part of what he wants and what he prayed for, which is community. I'll say it again. It's not enough just to believe in Jesus, but we have to want what he wants, and we have to be a part of what he desired us to be a part of. When we say that we're following Jesus and we remove ourselves from community, we're missing one of the biggest elements of the Christian faith. The night before Jesus went to the cross, picture this, wrap your head around this. The night before Jesus was arrested, the night Jesus was arrested, he prayed, "Father, make them one. Father, teach them community. Before I leave, teach them community." And he sealed the deal. After this prayer, he seals the deal on the cross. So it's very important that we begin to understand how powerful we are when we come together and experience community. And from the perspective of Jesus, here's the kicker about community. Jesus, in the way that he did things, he connected community with salvation. Right before he does salvation, he says, "God, help them understand community." It's one of these three prayers that Jesus prayed at the Last Supper. And one of them is about community. So community will always be connected with salvation. Before the cross, he prays and expresses his desire for community. And he says, "I pray that they will all be one, just as you and I are one." That doesn't sound like some type of distant relationship, right? That's something very intimate, something very connected. "As you are in me, Father, and I am in you, and may they be in us so that the world will believe you sent me." An outflow of us having community is that Christ is represented and believed in. As we demonstrate community, it causes belief in the world. Listen to what Jesus said. "I pray that they will all be one, just as you and I are one, as you are in me, Father, and I am in you, and may they be in us so that the world will believe you sent me." An outflow of us having community is that Christ is represented and believed in. When we do what we're supposed to do, it sends a powerful message to the world that Jesus is real and many will come to believe. Not everybody, but many will come to believe because they see the power of community. They see the power of unity. Imagine that. The people of God working together and prospering in such a way that it gets the attention of the world and it shines the light on Jesus. That is the prayer that Jesus prayed. What is the purpose for community? Well, one of the purposes is clear. It causes people to believe in Jesus, who he is, what he stands for, and his message is alive today in us. The community of Christ points back to Christ. When we operate as a community of Christ, it points back to the person of Christ. Others that have never known or believed in Jesus will begin to believe when they see how we live it out. It's not so much that you can quote Scripture, that's great and that's important, I'm not taking anything away, but can you live Scripture with others? Because some of your Scripture is not even tested until you have to live it with people. That's community. I can practice Christianity by myself. Ah, that's not a big deal. Can you practice Christianity in community? No, that's something. The devil is not afraid of if you can quote Scripture or not. He's more afraid if you can live Scripture. It said about Jesus, the Word became what? Flesh and dwelt among us. So that's what the devil's worried about. He's worried about people that become what Jesus taught about and people that can do it in unity with each other. Now, our demonstration as a community becomes the world's revelation. Our demonstration becomes their revelation. Community is the key to that. And the enemy doesn't want the people of God coming together in this way, to work together, because he knows that's how it ends for him. Scripture tells us in Matthew 16:18, "Now I say to you that you are Peter," which means rock. He's talking to Peter. "And upon this rock," upon what God is doing in Peter, "I will build my church," or community, "and all the powers of hell will not conquer it." So the devil is afraid of God's people coming together. He's not so much afraid of you doing something on your own. He's afraid of what we're capable together, right? Even a secular people, it says in the beginning in Genesis, they begin to build a tower to the heavens. And it said that God had to come down and stop them. Why? Because the power of their unity. Imagine what we can do with unity and the Holy Spirit at work among us. The devil is afraid of God's community getting together. Because when we get together, the devil doesn't stand a chance. The devil doesn't want us to understand community. He doesn't want us to live in community, because the gates of hell, the powers of hell, cannot win against that. It can't win against the church. And by the way, when we say church, we're not talking about a facility. We're talking about a people, the church, the people of God. The church is, you guessed it, God's community. God's community is the collective people of God, from different backgrounds, from different ethnicities. We have become followers of Jesus, and we share the teachings of Jesus as our common values. The devil is scared of this because community holds real power. What does the Bible say? One can put 1,000 to flight, but two can put what? The power of community. And so the more that we work together, the more powerful that we become. The spirit of this age, the Antichrist spirit, does not want the community of Christ to come together. Why? Because it challenges the power of the world. It challenges the power of the world system when God's people come together and they begin to institute the system of heaven. We begin to bring heaven to earth, right? Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That needs more than a person to establish, right? You need a body of people. You need a governing body to establish a kingdom. Do you not? You don't just need a leader or a president. You need a president. You need a vice president. You need a cabinet. You need a governing body to be able to establish a kingdom. So what does the enemy do if the enemy does not want community to come together? I'm going to give you about 3 things the enemy does. Not the only things, but 3 things that I wanted to share with you. Matthew 13, 24:25, it says, "The kingdom of heaven is like a farmer who planted good seed in his field, but that night as the workers slept, the enemy came and planted weeds among the wheat and then slipped away." You see, the enemy comes and he sows division, discord, gossip, whatever he can do to turn us against each other. Because if we're too busy fighting each other, we'll never get around to fighting him. Right? If we're too busy fighting with each other, we'll never turn the real focus on the real problem, which is the works of darkness in the world today that need to be destroyed by the community of light. So the enemy wants us to fight with each other, fight over doctrine, fight over seats in the church, fight over something that someone did over here that upset you back then. It doesn't matter what you fight for. That's not important to the enemy as long as we're fighting each other and not fighting him. The enemy loves it when we get on the internet and bash each other. Scripture actually talks directly against this. It said, don't let the world know your business. Let the church business stay within the church. Handle that yourself. If you've got a problem, go to the person. Still got a problem, bring another person, witness with you. If you need to, go before the whole church. You know, go to an elder. Work out your differences among each other. Don't bring it out in front of the world. The enemy wins when we fight each other. The enemy loses when we fight him. It's simple, it seems obvious, but it's the truth, right? It's the truth that's cloaked so often. We lose when we fight each other. We win when we fight the enemy. When we fight the devil, we are guaranteed victory, guys. Scripture guarantees us victory when we're unified and we fight together. We win when we begin to look from a heavenly perspective and we pray prayers like Jesus. Father, make us one. Father, make us unified. Father, make us the community that you want. The first thing that we see, it's gossip, it's fractions, right? Factions, it's the fracturing of people taking sides. And whose side are you on? I'm on one side. I'm on the side of the Lord. He's the one that wins. I want to be on that. It's important that we understand and we begin to pray for one another. Number two, second attack. The second attack the enemy comes to stop community is unforgiveness. We have to pray. We have the prayer that the Father teaches us to forgive each other. Father, teach us to forgive others the way you forgave us. You can't live in community without forgiveness. Ephesians 4:31 says, "Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you." You cannot have community without forgiveness. Eventually, somebody's going to mess up. Somebody's going to make a mistake. And they're going to need forgiveness. Eventually, you're going to slip up. You're going to make a mistake. You're going to need forgiveness too. You cannot have community without forgiveness. Over and over and over again. Why? Because none of us are perfect yet. We're not perfect one day. We're not perfect yet. And so we got to keep on forgiving. Not just forgive once. Peter said, he asked Jesus, he said, "Now if a brother," he's talking about within the community, "if a brother sins against me, how many times should I forgive them?" If a brother, not a stranger, not somebody in the world, not somebody unsaved, not somebody's lost, if a brother in Christ does me wrong, how many times should I forgive? Is 7 times enough? Jesus said, no, 70 times that. The community is just that important. You've got to keep on forgiving because we're building something. You've got to keep on forgiving because we're building something. We are more important than our individual offerings that we're bringing. There's something so powerful about unity. And so we forgive. It may be you making the mistake. It may be someone else making the mistake. But sooner or later, everyone will need forgiveness. Everyone will need to give forgiveness. Forgiveness is the glue that bonds us together and forges deeper relationships. Forgiveness is essential to community. Number three, how else does the enemy break up community? I find these two things often work together, pride and selfishness. Pride and selfishness. Pride is when you think you know more than you actually do. You can see how that could be a stumbling block, right? Selfishness is looking at things from what benefits you and not others. It's okay. I want you to get something out of Sunday. I want you to get something out of coming to Hope, but I also want you to give something back. Selfishness is just saying, you know what? What's in it for me? Or I'm not getting anything out of this. When I am being selfless, I'm saying, you know what? I want to get something, but I want to give something. I want to be balanced. And so pride and selfishness team up to break up community. Proverbs 16:18 says, pride goes before destruction and haughtiness before a fall. Pride makes you too big to fit in with the rest of the community. Pride is present. When pride is present, not everyone can fit in the room. Pride excludes people. Selfishness always leaves someone out that was meant to be in the community. Pride excludes, selfishness leaves out. Pride and selfishness break up the community of God. And many times, pride and selfishness can cause people to think that they can follow Christ and not particularly be in community. How does that make sense? To those that think this, I would just remind them to read your Bible. If you think you can do Christianity without community, just read your Bible a little more. You'll see it there. You'll see it sooner or later. Pride and selfishness says, I can do this on my own. I can seek God by myself. I don't need community. I can handle this. Sounds like pride, right? I got this. It also sounds selfish, too, because assume that you do have everything together, which is hardly the case. What about helping others grow? What about helping others be discipled? What about others that need input, need advice? What about them? Sounds kind of selfish, right? Selfish perspective. Pride and selfishness break up community. Pride says, I don't need help. I can do this alone. Selfishness says, only my personal Christian experience is important. People that don't attend Christian community miss out big because Christianity was never meant to be done alone. Jesus, when he did community, he had what? At least 12 guys with him. And those are the 12 guys that were specially selected. There are probably a couple of other people that were in the mix too, a couple of ladies, some people that were traveling with them. Christianity was always meant to be done in community. Scripture tells us Jesus will return for a bride. Jesus will return for his church. There is no place in Scripture that I've found yet that Jesus will return for individuals with their own agendas and their own lives. Jesus returns for people that have laid down their life and became part of a community. We not only need Jesus, we need community. He designed it that way. He designed it that way. You can't have unity with yourself. You can only have unity with community. And unity is found in community with other believers. There's something so powerful about community. It is forever connected with salvation and our Christian experience. Jesus prayed for our unity. He came to build a community. And there will be attacks against our community. There will be attacks against any community of God. But when we exercise unity, we can overcome anything. Not even the gates of hell will win against God's united community. I want to pray with you today that God would help us see the beauty of his community. It's not perfect, not perfect yet, but it's being perfected. And my prayer is that God help us not give up on community, because he hasn't given up on community. We are designed, we are commanded to be in community. So help us pray prayers like, Father, make us one. Remind us, God, to pray for unity. And even when we experience problems in our community, the answer isn't walking away. The answer is praying. God, perfect us as your community. When someone falls short, when we're disappointed, the answer is not walking away. The answer is talking to someone. The answer is praying. Father, make us one. The answer is working, and with God's help, becoming the community that he desires. God, touch our hearts today. You have a desire for us to be one as you are one. You have a desire for us to be community. God, we thank you. We're forever thankful for salvation. But salvation is the doorway into the house. Inside the house is community. And God, you want us to see the beauty of that. You want us to learn to love one another the way that you love us. This is my commandment, that you love one another, that your joy may be full. God, I thank you, Lord, that you would make our joy full. God, as we learn to love one another, as we learn to be in community, as we learn to embrace unity. God, thank you in this season. God, knit our hearts together. As I was driving to church this morning, I was just praying that prayer. God, knit our hearts together. Help us learn to love each other and see past the parts that are unsightly, the parts that someone may still be working on. God, I thank you, Lord. We are treasure in earthen vessels. There's treasure in each and every person. But can we have patience to work together? Can we have the patience to forgive? God, I thank you that you would teach us to have patience. And as we're praying, maybe you say, Pastor, I'm not where I need to be with Jesus. I want this. I want Jesus. I want community. But you say, I've kind of drifted away from Jesus. I've drifted away from my faith, and I need to reconnect today. If that's you, just slip up your hand. I want to pray with you right where you are today. You say, I've kind of drifted. Amen. If you slipped up your hand, I want you to pray this prayer with me. And everybody that believes this, you can pray this with us. Jesus, thank you for what you did on the cross. Thank you for dying for me. Thank you for wiping my sins away. I receive that free gift. I receive your forgiveness. I'm sorry for the moments I messed up. I'm sorry for my sins. I need your forgiveness today. I receive it. Thank you. Thank you for reconnecting me to a relationship with you and a relationship with the Father. Jesus, walk with me. I need you to teach me, to guide me, to give me the strength to live for you. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Amen. Come on, let's give God the praise today. I'm so excited for you. If you made a decision of faith today, keep at it. It's the small steps will continue to lead you to larger steps and larger victories. Get around people that are also serious about their faith walk. Connect with some people before you leave this place. It's so much easier to go on a journey of faith when you have other people with you. How many are glad to be in community? I'm glad to be in community. Community is encouraging. Community is accountability. Where there's community, there's prayer for each other. So I want to encourage you and leave you with this. If God is for you, who can be against you? And if Jesus is in your corner, you will be. Have an awesome Sunday.
Thanks again for listening. If you like this podcast, remember to share and subscribe. For more information or to connect with us, go to hopeunited.church. And remember, if God is with you, you will be undefeated.